Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Bharat, the son of Maharaj Dushmanta, bound 3,300 horses for those sacrifices, and thus he astonished all other kings. He surpassed even the opulence of the demigods, for he achieved the supreme spiritual master, Hari. Purport. One who achieves the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead certainly surpasses all material wealth, even that of the demigods in the heavenly planets. Yam labdva chaparam labam manyate nadikam tataha. The achievement of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the most exalted achievement in life. Hare Krishna. So I'd like to humbly request the blessings of the Vaishnavas, particularly the senior Vaishnavas, that I may speak some words inspiring for my own purification and for your pleasure. Here we're hearing about the dynasty of Puru, and in which Maharaj Bharat appeared, and the qualities of King Bharat are being explained. So Prabhupada is making the point twice in this very short purport that the highest, the most exalted achievement possible is the achievement of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the lotus feet of the Lord are glorified in the scriptures by great sages, by our acharyas. And why are they so exalted, the lotus feet of Krishna? Generally, the feet is considered like a contaminated part of the body. And the body is done, if we touch something with our feet, it's considered contaminated. Sometimes we bump into each other and we touch the body because it's considered like a contaminated part of the body. And we shouldn't touch anything with it. Yet we see that the lotus feet of the Lord are glorified so much. So why? Why are described as lotus feet also? It describes that they are lotus feet because they are very, very beautiful. In fact, Prabhupada explains that whenever is Krishna, everything becomes beautiful. And one meaning of the lotus feet of the Lord is the presence of the Lord. Because naturally, the devotees are very humble when they approach the Lord. And when they meditate on the Lord, they meditate on the lotus feet. It's a sign of humility. We see in the pastime where Arjuna went to see, he was recruiting allies for the battle of Kurukshetra. And he went to see Krishna. And then Duryodhana found out about it, and he also went there. And Duryodhana, he sat by the face of Krishna. However, Arjuna sat by the feet. Why? Because the devotee feels himself very humble and approach always the Lord through the feet. So we all know that when Krishna woke up, he spoke first to Arjuna. So the lotus feet are the highest achievement. They are also considered lotus because they have a mark which has a lotus. And also because they are always in Vrindavan. The lotus feet of Krishna never leave Vrindavan. And Vrindavan has the shape of a lotus also. And we see in the prayers, Lord Brahma is always meditating on the lotus feet of Krishna. Lord Shiva, he holds the water of the Ganges because the Ganges waters have touched the lotus feet of the Lord. We hear in so many prayers by the devotees, Lord Chaitanya himself, Ajinanda Tanuja Kinkaram Patitam Ambisham Eva Bambudo. He wants to become a particle of dust in the lotus feet of Krishna. So, and then we hear also the prayers of Queen Kunti, that she was saying that the land of Hastinapur had become, actually at that time Hastinapur was one of the most beautiful city in the world. Dwarka and Hastinapur, they were the most opulent, the wealthiest places. And when Kunti Devi, she's offering prayers to the Lord, she's saying that the opulence of Hastinapur is due to the fact that Krishna's feet are there. So, and then it's described that, even in Vrindavan, the marks, the footprints of Krishna are there, and even the animals and all the devotees, they will avoid touching those footprints. So the lotus feet are glorified in many ways. And what it means for us to achieve the lotus feet of Krishna, what is it that means to have this topmost achievement in life? Krishna consciousness. It means that the Lord actually becomes present in our lives. In everything that we do, we see Krishna. That, and this is the perfection that, you know, whatever situation we are, and whatever challenge we may face, whatever circumstance, we remember those lotus feet of Krishna. And this is the perfection of life. It seems very easy, right, to remember Krishna's lotus feet. But actually, this is the highest achievement. And why? Again, because this is the perfection of life. In material life, everybody is meditating on so many things based upon our desires, based upon our conditions, our previous impressions in our minds. And everybody's feeling some sense of disconnection, some sense of alienation. This is the problem when Vyasadev was meditating on, after Narada Muni had instructed him to meditate on the persons of the Lord, he saw the living entities, he saw Krishna along with his external energy, and then he saw the living entities that were afflicted, were suffering. And they were suffering because they were identifying with the body. They have actually forgotten Krishna. And then he explains that as seeing the disease, he saw what is the remedy. And the remedy was, obviously, devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Bhakti Yogam Adoksaye. So, this is what we are missing in our lives. This is what everybody is missing in the material world. I was just thinking this morning, the first time I came to Bhaktivedanta Manor, it was, I think, 96. And it was the first time I saw deities in the altar. And I'm usually quite good at hiding my emotions. But I remember that when the curtains opened, I was sobbing, you know. I couldn't stop it. And the word is, I didn't know anybody. I was so shy. But why is that? Because this is what we're hankering for. You know, this is what is missing. We're missing this connection with Krishna. And that sometimes the lotus feet of Krishna, the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda are compared like a cooling moon. Because in the material world, the whole mood, the whole, everything is being driven by self-centeredness. And we're trying to satisfy our desires, and everybody's trying to do the same, and it's fighting, and it's so much struggle. It's compared to like a forest fire. And when you finally come to the lotus feet of Krishna, it's like cooling. And it's a completely different experience. I didn't know, I was new, completely new. And so it was no ecstatic emotions, that's guaranteed. But it was just coming with that devotional service, with that different energy. So we want to alleviate the sense of alienation from the heart. And that is done through connection with Krishna. We heard the words, you know, yoga. Yoga means to reconnect. And how is that connection done? How do we connect with Krishna? It's not just an external thing. It's a change in the heart. It's a change in the attitude. Prabhupada explains in the Nectar of Instruction, the advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. So, what trying to achieve? Sometimes we become very, and speaking personally anyway, mechanical in our spiritual practices. And we forget what is actually the purpose of it. what is Prabhupada giving us through his purports? What is he teaching us? And we see that actually he's teaching us how to develop, cultivate love for God, devotion. Bhakti yoga means devotional service. It doesn't mean just service. So it means you have to put your heart into it. And when we put our hearts into it, then that missing thing in the heart is alleviated. This is the purpose of human life, is actually to fill that gap. So people in the material world are hankering so much for this. They don't know what to do. They are trying so many different things, so many different venues to gratify their senses. And they are just being defeated at every step. And that's why Prabhupada insisted so much. He says, the whole world is hungry. It's full of hungry people. And what are they hungry of? He says, they are hungry of a spiritual atmosphere. So what is that spiritual atmosphere? It's when we actually give up this self-centeredness, self-centered attitude, and we change it to the devotional service of the Lord. And this is what Bhagavatam is explaining us, that the Bhagavatam will cause a revolution in the heart. Janataga viplavo. What is that revolution? That revolution is to change that self-centered attitude to Krishna-centered attitude. And it's subtle. It's so subtle. It's not, you know, it's easy to say. But our whole life, everything is going in our lives, is helping us to achieve that. It's helping us to give up that self-centeredness. And I distribute books. I always find that book distribution for me is like a reality check. Because sometimes, even when doing other services, we develop certain kind of identities, you know. Or, you know, I teach in Mayapur Sastri courses, and it's more like you're with other devotees. You can develop certain kind of, you know, concepts about yourself. But when you go out in the streets, you are nobody really. No one knows you, and you start trying to distribute books, and people can be, sometimes, like, often, in fact, they ignore you, you know, or they tell you to get lost or this and that. And it's a fight for the ego. Because then the mind begins with all these excuses, why I should not be here distributing books. You know, I'm begging, or, you know, you're just motivated, or, you know, whatever it is, like, what's the use? You know, it's very difficult to make the bodies. The blues of the mind. And it just takes a lot of adjustment until you come to the point that actually I want to do this because it's pleasing to Krishna. It's pleasing to Prabhupada. So it doesn't matter if people are stopping or they're not stopping or whatever. I am doing, following the instruction. And the moment that you kind of, I made the adjustment and I just keep approaching people without, again, self-centeredness. The self-centeredness is removed. You go out even to do a service like this, and there is a motivation. I'll distribute books. I'll collect blacksmith this. Whatever selfish motives may be there. But the moment that you actually just say, I'm going to do this for Krishna, then people start to stop. And the whole thing becomes very, very sweet and very nice. So, I'm saying this is a reality check because, you know, it helps me to see how, when I'm doing what I'm doing, how much selfish motivation is there. It's for me self-centeredness. But when you are out there to preach, it's no longer, you are not the center. And then you get your real identity. What is our real identity? Gopi Vartu Padakamala Yordasa Dasa Anudasa, that we are actually the servants. And when you are in that situation in the streets, unless you come to that point, it's hellish, you know. If you think that you are anything else but Krishna's servant, it becomes very difficult. And that's why some devotees don't like book distribution. Huh? But actually, if you just make that tiny little adjustment, it's so healthy for our spiritual life and so much wanted. And you can see actually how people are looking for Krishna consciousness. They're so eager. I mean, they are lost. And I will say, now more than ever before, I was doing the book distribution for almost 20 years now, and I'm seeing now the people in the streets more receptive than ever before. I'm going out with Doti and Tilak and everything. People just are interested. They're seeing the materialistic life is a failure. They're becoming aware of it. They're looking for alternatives. And sometimes we are so much in our little world that, well, you know, I'm going to go out. But we have to go out and do this. And it reminds me of a purport Prabhupada is explaining in the sixth canto. He says that the activities of Krishna consciousness, they are not for oneself, but they are for others also. And he says, one who acts according to this principle will never fall down, because Krishna will give him his personal protection. And he says, this is the sum and substance of Krishna consciousness. Acting for the welfare of others. Prabhupada exemplified this, and this is the symptom of someone who has achieved or is in the process of achieving the lotus feet of Krishna. The lotus feet of Krishna also represent his instructions. His supreme instruction is that we should surrender to him and we should share this message with others. That's his supreme instruction. So it is our duty, and as I said, you know, in order to do that, then we have to come out of our own selfishness. And it's not much easier and funny way, or, you know, it's like exciting way to do it than do some preaching in some form. So then there is also the element of the lotus feet of Krishna, the lotus feet of the Lord. Actually, Krishna, when he's speaking to Uddhava in the 11th canto, he's saying, it's a very nice verse, you know, and he's saying there that Krishna follows the lotus feet. I mean, we're talking about how exalted the lotus feet of Krishna are, the highest achievement. And the highest achievement is obviously Krishna's lotus feet represent him. And it means that he's in the heart of the devotee. He's no longer taking shelter of anything else. It says that the devotee is akinchana. Akinchana means, what is the meaning of akinchana? Akinchana? Someone can tell me? Materially exhausted. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the person is destitute or poor. It means that he no longer has any faith on self-centeredness, on sense gratification, on me. He's understood that actually Krishna's pleasure is the best. The highest goal is to give Krishna pleasure. We have different examples of akinchana devotees. Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he was a kinchana. However, he was very opulent. But he had no other shelter than Krishna. And then when Mukunda came with Mukunda? Was it with Gadadhar? They came. And then Mukunda had told Gadadhar Pandit that I'm going to bring you to this wonderful devotee. And when Gadadhar Pandit, he saw Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he was, you know, sitting on a big couch, and he has spittoons, you know, he was chewing betel nut. He had his hair with oil. You know, they were fanning him. And Gadadhar Pandit thought, he looks like a sense gratifier. And then when Mukunda, he could read the mind of Gadadhar Pandit, and he just recited a verse. Alas, you know, how will I take shelter of someone more merciful than he who gave the position of a she mother to that one who came to poison him, Putana. And as soon as he heard the verse, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he just fell on the floor. Why I did not get Krishna's mercy? Why I did not get Krishna's mercy? He broke his cloth. He was completely absorbed in, you know, and this understanding that this is the highest goal. There is nothing else to be attained in the material world. Radha Gokulananda ki, yes. And then we have the example of Kolaveshar Siddhar, also a kinchana devotee, but he was very poor. Yet we saw that when Lord Chaitanya was giving benedictions, and he gave a benediction to Kolaveshar Siddhar, who was so poor. Actually, he had practically no money. He had this lota that it was like very, very old, and he will use it for drinking, for washing himself. And when Lord Chaitanya says, he said, "What benediction will you like?" And he said, "I would like that you will come every day and bargain with me," because he was selling bananas. And Lord Chaitanya will come and say, "These bananas are not good." And he will steal them. He will play around with them. And then later on, then Kolaveshar Siddhar said, I don't desire anything else. I just desire you come and bargain with me every day. And then Lord Chaitanya, he said, "This Kolaveshar Siddhar, she's actually cheating us all, you know. He appears to be very poor, but he's actually is the wealthiest. He has the greatest wealth. And what is that wealth? That Krishna consciousness again. He had understood that there is no higher achievement than this Krishna consciousness, this acting for the pleasure of Krishna. So then we are hearing about the glorification of Krishna's lotus feet, and then I was saying in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, it says that Krishna himself, he is following the lotus feet of his devotees. He follows the in instructions of Krishna to Uddhava. And then in the purport, it is explained that that he follows the lotus feet of the Lord, of the devotees, because he's established that you cannot get bhakti unless you get the lotus feet of the devotees. And then he says that to follow the same principle, I also, to purify myself, I follow the lotus feet of the devotees. But then, there is, it says, well, you know, Krishna is pure. But it says, but I contain the universes within me, so I will, you know, follow the footsteps of my devotees to become purified, so that the universes become purified. Or I may become purified from my inability to reciprocate with my devotees. And then it's explained, it's a very nice purport actually, and there is one of these Bhaktivedanta purports. It says that Krishna follows the feet of the devotees to purify them. And it says that when he's following the devotees, then the wind blows the dust from Krishna's feet onto the devotees, and the devotees become purified. So we see the spirit of devotion that is always a spirit of submission and humility, and as I said, acting, we just want to act for Krishna's pleasure. We want to see in every situation the hand of the Lord. This is Bhagavad Gita. What is Bhagavad Gita teaching us? It's teaching us to see Krishna in every situation. Even in those trying circumstances, when an obstacle comes our way, and they come, right? What is the obstacle there for? It's to make our life difficult. Sometimes we hear the word is saying, I've said to myself, why Krishna is making it so difficult? So why is Krishna making it so difficult? Or why there are these tests in our Krishna consciousness? Some very hard tests. Why are they there? Because we are not Krishna conscious yet. So therefore, the test is there so that we can actually adjust our consciousness and be Krishna conscious. And this adjustment usually takes place when we, you know, I remember some years back, I moved to Mayapur and I was associating with senior Vaishnavas, and I kept thinking, you know, what is it that makes them advance? You know, what is the quality of an advanced devotee? You know, you could say it's very learned, but you know, the description in the scripture, I was trying to analyze it, and I came to the simple point, but it hit me, that the difference between an advanced devotee and a neophyte is that Krishna is in the center more. The more we bring Krishna into the center of our lives, the more we are advanced. And bringing Krishna in the center means that actually Krishna's desires come first, not my desire. And when these obstacles are there, why the obstacle is there? Because my desires are coming first. If you analyze it, and then you have, then you, and then it's a test also to see, I'm actually doing this for Krishna? Or is it for me? Is what I'm getting out of it? And then we'll finally come to this platform where, you know, Krishna is in the center of our lives. And like Prabhupada is explaining, this is in the teachings of Queen Kunti, where this prayer is this by Kunti Devi, glorifying the lotus feet of Krishna. And then Prabhupada is explaining that, you know, that unless Krishna's lotus feet is there, unless Krishna consciousness is there, nothing will ever be beautiful. We can see that when the devotees are in Krishna consciousness, they become so beautiful. Prabhupada was so beautiful. Why? And he was so attractive that the devotees, when they saw him, they became completely captivated by his personality and they were prepared to do anything for him. And they were young. Most of the devotees were in their 20s. And they were completely captivated. Why? Because Krishna was carrying, Prabhupada was carrying the lotus feet of the Lord in his heart. So this is our purpose in Krishna consciousness. This is what we're trying to achieve. We're trying to achieve the devotional service of the Lord. So in all our activities, we should keep this in mind. And we should keep in mind also that when Krishna says that actually he who says he is my devotee is not my devotee, but he who is the devotee of my devotee. So it's so important how our, you know, in fact, Sukadeva Goswami, he's saying that, what is it? Bhagavan Bhakta Bhaktimam, that Krishna is the devotee of his devotee. So it's so important, so essential, this Vaishnav etiquette, how we actually treat each other, how we're dealing with each other. Our love for Krishna is expressed through this. Bhagavan Bhakta Bhaktimam. Krishna is the devotee of his devotees. And this is what actually gonna get us there to that platform, to that topmost achievement. I mean, it's just a revolutionary statement. We are hearing it all the time. But if you ask anyone out there in the material world, what is the highest achievement? What will they say? You know, working for, you know, becoming like a CEO or something, making lots of money, becoming a football player. Everybody's dissatisfied. And everything will end up in material life means a failure. Everything will end up with death. Everything. You work hard all your life and then you die. Achieve nothing and it's temporary. Years go by and even if you're having a good time, it will pass. But the only thing that lasts is this Krishna consciousness. The only thing that will satisfy the heart is this Krishna consciousness. And we don't want to be distracted by anything else. And again, it comes the prayers of Queen Kunti that she's saying, no, don't let my mind be diverted to anything else. Just like the water of the Ganges are drawing into the sea, going into the sea. Let my mind be attracted to you alone. We don't want to be distracted by anything else. And it's so difficult. And why do we don't want to be distracted by anything else? Because anytime we're distracted, we have to suffer so much. Suffer so much. So what is the easiest way to be in this, be absorbed in Krishna consciousness? What is, you know, what is the one time that you can forget completely about your own desires and your own problems. Preaching, right? So, you know, when you're preaching, someone comes to you asking about Krishna consciousness, you can become completely absolved, right? Forget about everything. I mean, chanting of the holy name is obviously our prime practice. But even it's a lot easier to get absorbed when we're preaching. So this missionary spirit has to be revived in the movement. We have to get out of our comfort zone and really get out there and distribute books or this program, university. I mean, I'm so happy here in Bhaktivedanta Manor. I've seen so many different programs are going on. Things are happening. So it's very exciting. But it's so much work to be done. Prabhupada was very ambitious. He wanted the whole world. He told Buriyan Prabhu once, he said, I want that everyone in this world become Krishna conscious. Everyone. So please help me. So he's telling us, he's sending this message. And when we do this, surely Krishna's lotus feet will be there. He'll come to us. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. I'll just read the last sentence of the purport. The achievement of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the most exalted achievement in life. So if you don't remember anything of what I said today, at least remember this point. Hare Krishna. Finish? Question? Is there any questions, or maybe senior Vaishnavas would like to comment or add anything? Any question from anyone?